New Testament reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 11 to 23. And if you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1173, beginning at verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we have heard your word read to us, as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Spirit so that we may hear what you are saying to us through your Spirit, and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Sabbaticals are a gift given by the Methodist Church to its ministers to do something very different to their normal rhythm of ministry. So my holiday and sabbatical has afforded me the opportunity to do some reading and reflecting upon the nature of ministry and particularly on ordination. I've spent time with family, especially doing things like going to Edinburgh for my niece's baptism in her local Baptist church, things that I wouldn't normally be able to do, obviously, given that it was a Sunday. I've taken the opportunity to worship with God's people in other churches, not just Methodist, but other denominations as well. And it's just lovely to sit under pulpit ministry by someone else. It's just lovely to do all those sort of things. But the most difficult thing to do when you're on sabbatical is to stand aside when there are pastoral issues in your congregation. I was still receiving the prayer texts and keeping up to date with, you know, what was happening and who I needed to be praying for. So, of course, when I would receive a prayer text, my frustration would also be that I couldn't then just go and see them and have a chat with them and pray for them together, as I would if you were in hospital or whatever the situation would be. Now, I knew that they were receiving very appropriate pastoral care and attention, so that wasn't a concern to me at all. but it was more about me. When you share life with your congregation, you want to be there and share life, particularly in those more challenging times. Since July, then, our church family has suffered grief. We lost Bill McCappin, Desmond Ferguson, Norma Murdoch. Norma was due to be reading this morning when I put the worship plan together in June. Nancy McMurtry. Valerie Fullerton lost her mother, and Doreen McKnight lost her daughter, Lisa. Then this week, of course, we've lost Maisie Gordon. As I come back into my church family this morning to share with you, it is so strange and heart-wrenching, particularly not to have Desmond opening up as it did so faithfully for so many years, to have Norma greeting people with her lovely smile at the door. On the 12th of October, 2019, these five people were in the news. Mariam Trezia, Giuseppina Vanini, Dulce Lopez Pontes, Margarita Bays, and John Henry Newman. What do they have in common? Maybe the last name gave it away for you. What they held in common was that they were all canonized by the Pope, regarded in the Catholic tradition as saints. So when we talk about saints and observe All Saints Sunday, sometimes we do get a bit confused, because we do naturally tend to think of those people who were living centuries ago, perhaps, certainly a long time ago. And they were just fantastic Christian people who had an impact on the world in wonderful ways, in incredible ways. In fact, in the Catholic tradition, you have to have two miracles attributed to you to be eligible to be a saint. So that's me out for a start anyway. But when it comes to the New Testament, saints are those people who are part of the church, and very much include those who are still alive. And there's no distinction of levels of Christian faith. So like in our text today, the word saints is a reference to the people of God, the holy people of God. God's people are holy because they are separate from the world. They are committed to the Lord. That's what the word saint literally means. It comes from the Greek word hagios, meaning separated. It means holy, and it means separated unto the Lord. Now, sometimes we're tempted to compare ourselves to others, and we end up thinking, well, we're just not as good a Christian as so-and-so is. Yes, of course, there are some people who have exemplified the life of Christ more than others, and they are great examples to us in our own Christian journey. But there is no distinction in terms of level of Christian faith and commitment. So if you are in Christ, you are part of the saints of God. But I do believe that when we talk about the saints, we should talk about those who have gone before us. As Brian said at the beginning, Hebrews talks about the cloud of witnesses, and together we are the church in heaven and on earth. And we can talk this way because death has been defeated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that dividing line between heaven and earth, between life and death, has been removed. When we talk about the church and all of God's people as saints, we think about the one church. Those here on earth and those now in glory, the church triumphant. So of course we grieve for those whom we see no longer on earth. But we grieve with that hope that we will share with them once again in God's new kingdom, in God's new age. Another important point to note in the Bible when I talk about saints is this. We don't read of a saint singular. It's always spoken of as plural. See, one of the issues facing our culture today is the rise of individualism. And even, we have to confess, sometimes in our own evangelical culture, we have inadvertently added to this. When we talk only in terms of a personal salvation and a personal faith. Now, of course, salvation and faith has to be personalized by each individual, but we also need to talk more in terms of community. God's people, or the saints, are all about the community of the faithful together as one body of Christ. See, when we read in Scripture that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we've often understood, actually misunderstood that to mean, to refer to as, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's not what it means at all. It means the temple as all of God's people together is where the Holy Spirit dwells. I believe we've lost that sense of community when it comes to talking about the saints of God, the people of God. We need to reclaim that. All Saints Sunday, therefore, affords us the opportunity to give our thanks to the Lord for all of God's people who have touched our lives and who have had such a lasting impact upon us. I've referred earlier to Sunday the 12th of October when the Pope canonized 5 people to be regarded as saints in the Catholic tradition. Another important thing happened that day. I know some of you are runners, and the Lord bless you for that. Unless I'm chasing a ball, I'm not interested in running at all. For the first time in history, someone ran the marathon in under 2 hours. Do you remember that? Just 3 weeks ago this happened. Now, it was regarded as an unofficial time, but it was an incredible feat. Kenyan runner Eliud Kipchoge ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes, 40 seconds. But here was the interesting point for me. He didn't do it on his own. There were 42 other runners around him. 42. Not all at the same time, mind you. But there they were, a group of them at any one time who were setting the pace. They were also creating an aerodynamic thing for them that they formed a V. So we know that illustration we've talked about before is the Canadian geese and they're flapping away and then they go to the back and all the rest of it for the wind resistance. They were doing much the same sort of thing with Kipchoge. And of course, then they would peel off and another group of them would get in the V and do all that. They were all playing their part. And then, of course, for the illustration, the crowds were there cheering him on. I mean, to do it in under 2 hours is amazing. So think back to Roger Bannister doing the mile in under 4 minutes. We think that was a huge thing. I mean, I can hardly drive a car in under 4 minutes for a mile. But anyway, it's amazing to think about how fast he was running. But I thought about this and I thought this is a perfect way to think about All Saints Sunday. Because we have a cloud of witnesses who are like those cheering us on from the sides. And then we have the saints who are living, who are alongside us, helping us on our way. So on this All Saints Sunday, we are thankful for all the saints. Those who have died and gone to their reward, and those who continue to cheer us on our way, as well as those saints who walk alongside us and share life with us. Amen. Let's pray together. So, Lord, on this All Saints Sunday, we are thankful. We are thankful that we don't do life on our own. That you invite us to be in community with each other. as your church, the holy saints of God. And we thank you, Lord God, for all the saints, especially for those who have had a lasting impact on our own lives and on the life of our own congregation here. And we give you thanks for those saints who continue to journey alongside us, so that we might grow together in Christ and for the glory of his name. Amen.